Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're back, finally. It's been 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that.
It's been a hot minute. We had the uncanny, I had the crud.
Yeah, the uncanny experience. Should we start there?
We should. It was a lot of fun.
It was. I was nervous the entire weekend.
Me too.
Like, we were both balls of anxiety.
We were hosting our wonderful Bun Bun parent friend, Sarah Century. Everyone should go get her zines.
Yes. I have to crack into that lesbian vampire one.
Same.
And then watch the movies.
Carmilla?
Not Carmella?
No.
The former WWE wrestler?
Oh, not her.
Wrestler used very loosely because she was mostly a manager, and then they're like, you can wrestle too, and she was like, I can.
She shrieked a lot.
Yeah.
She was Miss Money in the Bank at one point.
It's true.
But lesbian vampires are really what we should be reading about.
And
that we were hosting her, so yes. I was super anxious about, like, was everything perfect?
Yes.
Which is silly, because perfect should not be the enemy of good, especially when hanging out with people.
And I was nervous because I had the book launch, which went really well, and I knew it would, but that didn't prevent me from waking up with a panic attack one of the nights.
Right. So I hung out outside and did sales for you, and then you went in and had a wonderful talk with Chad that I could mostly hear from the doorway.
Yes.
Except all these people kept coming up for a scavenger hunt thing. I'm like, great, do it, but also don't disturb my husband and his book launch. So yeah. There were all sorts of mysteries around the mansion / Minneapolis club. That was fun. Like, people seemed really engaged with that.
Mm-hmm.
People were really into the house things.
Yeah, there were a lot of first-time attendees from our social.
Yeah, so it was fun sort of feeding off that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very smooth as an event.
Yeah.
Like, I don't recall any sort of, like, snafus or, oh my goodness, find a founder moment.
Yeah, so, yeah, everything went very well. I mean, I was saying up to a few days ago that I was still recovering, basically, because we're 2 weeks out, and
it was a lot of anxiety, it was a lot of extroverting.
Yes.
And those are not things that we deal terribly well with?
No, like, I was at such a fight or flight response with my anxiety that I feel it takes me days to work back from that.
Yeah.
And then it just kept spiking for the dumbest reasons. So.
But the X Factor panel went well, talking about Peter David with Alex Segura and Demanda and Scott and Chad.
Yeah.
Which it was just really nice to see them in person.
Yes, it was. So we have less than 3 weeks before we fly out for FlameCon.
Yeah. That should be exciting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring Magic Madrox since it's done.
Oh.
I haven't really reached out to anyone for 3D printing things that I would need.
Oh, yeah. And it's sort of a short turnaround now.
But at least I was able to talk to Sean McArdle about doing things for a Captain Planet cosplay.
Yeah.
What a hunk.
Yes.
Especially in issue 2 that just came out.
Yeah. I don't know why they delayed that and also the Space Ghost Annual by like a month.
It was something about the distributor from the Faux Foot at Comic Book College.
Mm.
Like, they transitioned from one distributor to another and had all this inventory that they couldn't move from certain warehouses or something. It seemed like a hot mess.
Is it IDW?
Dynamite.
Oh.
So I think all the Dynamites got delayed, which is why I think I picked up all three at once. Silverhawks, Captain Planet, and
Space Ghost.
Space Ghost. Because I think somehow Herculoids avoided it. I think I still love that one to read.
Hmm.
Their latest.
Yeah. I have a stack of comics because I was just fully in prep mode and I'm finally chipping away. I did finish 2 omnibuses.
Nice.
So I finished Superman the Exile and the first volume of Justice League International.
Nice.
It was nice because I had been chipping away at them for a while, and then they sat on the coffee table, and I didn't touch them, and then I'd go back to them and forget what happened, then I wouldn't touch them again, so 2 omnibi down.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Anything else about Uncanny? It was great. Like, still encourage everyone to go.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just nervous because we had like
things
friends to
going
look
on.
after.
Yeah.
Everyone else seemed to have a great time. The drag show was super fun.
Yeah. Demanda Martini came out as trans, which is wonderful. I'm so proud of her.
Yes, we love her. And the number was great with Val Cooper and the exercise thing.
Yes.
And then weaving in some Olivia Newton-John physical with the Dua Lipa one.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah. And it really proved that we cannot handle late nights.
It's
multiple
true.
Days in a row, especially. Like.
Right.
Oh. And we didn't even really drink.
No.
It was just up late.
Yes. So worth it to hang out with them.
Yes. Like once a year.
Yes.
And since then, we've been recovering. We did garden stuff.
Yeah, the beds are pretty under control. There might be some cucumbers out there, honestly.
No.
I think I saw a little one last time we were out last weekend.
Okay.
So there's that.
But it's so hot.
It is.
Like, it's disgustingly hot today.
Maybe if a cool front comes in right before a storm, you can hit that sweet spot and grab some salad for Asta.
Yeah.
The herbs are doing well. There's some lettuces coming up.
Yeah.
I think last time the buns were here, we got some carrot leaves for them. The carrots were doing well enough.
Mm-hmm.
We could pick a leaf or two.
Yeah.
Or three.
I don't know if we'll do carrots again. It's so hard to keep up on weeding that bed. And also, they don't seem to germinate.
Like, although we did have enough for a big pot of soup last year.
Yeah.
That was good. And the parsnips were good. It seems like a rough year for germination for some things. Like,
yeah.
I've been struggling with it at my place, too. But I also need to trim back the borage because it's just flopping and looking old and weird.
Oh.
So,
yeah, and the buns don't like eating it.
The buns do not. But the buns are getting plenty of homegrown salad. There's plantain, there's lemon balm, the basil's bolting, so they get the basil blossoms. I get sparing little dill leaves.
Mm.
So, and it's just nice to be able to, like, walk around the yard and be able to pick stuff and not have to worry about buying stuff from a store.
I read somewhere, like, if you make tea with lemon balm, it's supposed to help with anxiety.
Oh, good thing it is coming up everywhere.
Yes.
Did we ever plant the stuff in the jugs here?
No.
Oh, no.
It's still sitting there in the jugs.
Oh, no. Well, at least it gets shaded for a few hours a day. And there's no shortage.
Yeah.
Not the end of the world if it burns out.
Right. We saw Superman yesterday.
Very
finally.
Good. Highly recommend.
Yes. I teared up a few times.
As did I.
It's such a fun movie. A good superhero movie.
Yeah. I really appreciate the going back to his roots of punching millionaires.
Mm. Yes.
Because there is no such thing as a good millionaire, according to Superman, in the 40s.
It was really nice to see him as sort of flawed, too.
Like, he's trying, like
yes.
the rest of us.
Yes. And gave a really good speech during that final battle.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, and I'm crying. That's cool.
Oh.
So.
I mean, we still have half the popcorn tub, too.
Yes. Which might just be thrown out for the squirrels and birds.
The squirrels will love it.
They will. And the crows.
Yeah, those crows are so smart, they will dip the hard stuff in the bird bath and then soften it up and then eat it.
Yes. Very clever birds, the corvids.
And we spent 2 hours yesterday grooming Clyde.
Oh, wow. It was a lot.
I mean, I'm glad we did it.
Yeah.
He needed it.
He needs more.
Yes.
Because he's an Angora, so that fur is very long.
And so dense.
Yeah, it's very thick, so... Even with the trimmer, we had to turn it off a few times to let it cool down.
And we had some little tiny scissors I use for a...
craft project.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah, rather than explain your whole Swedish thing.
Yes. So, trimming off some of the fur, like, especially the tangled bits around the hay parts.
Yeah.
And then we would take turns holding up his front half and then trying to get the mats on the underside and cut them away.
Yeah.
Poor guy, like, those things are tugging and pulling.
I know.
And around his butt.
And joints, like...
Yeah.
So, we are working on him. It's our first time really grooming an Angora because the rescue, the person who usually does the shave downs, is a teacher who's on vacation. So,
yeah. And our other buns are all short-haired buns.
Yes.
So they don't have the same sort of issues. But
yes.
I've ordered so many new combs,
yeah.
and one of them is this seems to be especially effective.
Yeah.
So
you'll just have to do that all the time.
All the time.
Every
Put them up
day.
On a table and
yeah.
away we go.
Yeah. Asta is currently Bun Bun Dreaming.
Yeah, I mean, this is on your new laptop without the microphone, and the keyboard is facing out, so...
Yeah, bold risk by us.
Yes. When she hopped over after she realized she couldn't walk down the stairs, we were like, oh no. is that a keyboard I see? So who knows, maybe she'll wake up from her nap and delete this recording several times.
Yes, very possible. So next weekend, I think we're going to see Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So we'll only be 1 week behind on popular movies.
Like I say, pop culture and I are two ships passing in the night, so.
Which is fine. Superman, even though it's been out for 2 weeks, that's still a pretty packed theater.
Yeah. Fun fact, you have to look online when you're reserving seats to see which end is the screen end and which end is the back. I thought I was getting us seats in the back and we were the third row.
Yeah. No one in front of us.
No one in front of us. And, like, it was really wonky, like, for my eyesight, standing
yeah.
up afterwards, being like, I don't know how to see things now.
Yeah. My neck was getting sore.
Yes.
Because they weren't the recliner seats, so.
No.
Which was unfortunate. So, next weekend, I will book the tickets for Fantastic Four. So we can actually be near the back, and hopefully that theater has recliners.
I think it does. It got redone from when I was in high school.
So, all right, should we dive into some Alpha Flight?
Yeah, it feels like it's been a hot minute.
It's been over a month. Issue 46 is entitled Friends and Lovers. From May 1987, our writer is Bill Mantlo, penciler is June Brigman, inks Wills Portasio. Bob Sharon on colors, Jim Novak on letters, and our editor is Carl Potts. This is us picking up where we just got Wanda.
It's true, and Wanda is taking it in stride, which I guess makes sense for being a disembodied soul wandering on limbo looking for an empty vessel.
Yes. So Aurora is like, hey, scramble, can you change Wanda back into a male?
Yes. And she is just so focused on getting a lover back.
And Wanda is like, well, you know, Scramble helped Roger regrow some legs and, like, get built as shit. So...
It's true. There are so many leotards in this issue. I almost said episode. But Roger's in it with the black one with the blue belt. Wanda's in one with little, like, capped sleeves and... little ballet flaps, it would seem.
Roger's like, I only wanted to get legs because I love you, Aurora. And she's like, I only slept with you because Walter was gone, so...
Our affair offered me some amusement. And this box that has Aurora looking away from both Wanda and Roger, as he's saying, amusement, is that all? And Wanda says, I guess I would have been naive to have expected you to remain faithful to my memory. And Aurora just says, I placed flowers on your grave, my love, but your memory could not dispel the darkness that crowded close on so many long, lonely nights.
No.
She's like, Aurora,
yeah.
I get it, but hold yourself together.
So Scramble is like, okay, I'm going to lay hands on you in a respectful manner and try to do this. And it doesn't work.
It doesn't. I was sort of surprised that it didn't, but then the explanation makes sense that this is Snowbird's body and she's part divine.
Mm-hmm. This is Whitman Knapp chiming in.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I took some readings and Wanda's like a part human, a part great beast, a part goddess.
Yeah, she's just all a mix.
Yes.
An amalgamation.
And then Aurora is really upset and just flies away.
Yeah, Wanda makes a crack about maybe I should try Sweden. Does that mean in the 80s that's where people went for?
Yes.
Oh. There was an article about one of the Paris performers, I think during the war, one of the, like, popular trans folks there, and having gone through a surgery, but I think she had gone to Morocco.
Oh.
So yeah, it's wild. And you can see on Roger's arm this weird growth thing that's happening. So he hops into the armor and flies out after Aurora.
And then everyone else leaves, and Whitman Knapp is like, hey, yo, Scramble, those legs aren't looking too hot on Roger.
Yeah, almost as if they're decomposing. And Dr. Jeffries is like, he is heading down a dark path.
He's like, shut up, and then starts thinking to himself, like, if this doesn't work out, I'm probably going to revert.
I might go mad. And Nap is like, well, if he'd threatened to use his power on me, who served him loyally, perhaps he already has. And we get a little sky interaction between Box and Aurora. And Aurora's like, can't you leave me to my misery? And Roger's like, oh, I love you. And unlike Lankowski, I can love you. And she just calls him a pig and flies off. Like, it is not great. But then we get some late night creeping by Heather.
Yeah, Heather is at the Alphanex computer, and she's like, wow, the team has changed so much recently. Let me peek in on what everyone's doing via this camera system.
Yeah, it is a whole like recap page of how the team has changed.
Yes.
And she can see Aurora talking with Puck. He lets slip that he is so in love with someone who is not reciprocating.
And it's his way of trying to find common ground with her.
And she's like, no, it's just that I came here to discuss me. Like, wow. She is the center of the universe.
At the poolside, which we last saw with the Gilded Lily
Oh,
in that
yeah.
annual,
With all those mirrors.
Wanda is looking at herself in the water and she's like, I'm hot. And
And North Star, like, very queer.
yes.
Like my sister, I'm afraid that I preferred the man you were. I cried with Aurora when I thought we'd lost you. And Wanda's like, you did? I never knew. And, like, almost are having a moment, but then he just gets so mad.
And he's like, I'm doomed, and just stomps out.
I don't want your condolences or your concern. Neither can help me who is doomed. And oh, I guess we'll get to it later. The North Star thing is a whole thing.
Yes. So the siblings pass one another in the hallway because they're stomping out of their respective conversations.
They are. Purple Girl is stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
And Aurora calls her an eavesdropping little brat.
Because Aurora tried to sympathize with her brother, and he's like, I don't need that from you.
And it's all in French, and Purple Girl's like, I don't even speak French.
Yeah.
You'll get yours, lady. Maybe you already have. Like, with this whole temper tantrum thing going on.
So then Purple Girl goes to hang out with Madison. She can do some homework in his company.
Yeah.
And he tells her of his concerns about Roger and references how Roger was never the most stable person, which comes as a surprise to the listening Heather and us.
And us. I thought he was like a solid good guy.
Yeah.
So she's watching Aurora almost go into Roger's room, but then she just goes back into her own.
Yep.
And Heather's like, well, I guess I should go to bed.
It's basically her version of watching TV.
Yeah, like the episode is wrapping up. I guess I should go.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh no, maybe I shouldn't be spying on everyone in the
Right?
darkness.
So inside his bedroom, Roger is spiraling and
Yes.
is itching away at his legs, which they're flaking skin onto his bedspread. It's crusty.
Yes, it's real rough. And he's like those guys who are like, this woman owes me sex.
Yeah.
And it's real gross, and I did not enjoy that aspect of Roger coming out.
So in her bedroom, Aurora is sort of trying to confront her fear of the dark, but she then is getting more frantic and calls out in terror.
Yes, there are some nun visages in the night, and Jean-Marie makes an appearance in a mirror. So we meet again, tramp. You have stolen my body, soiled my soul. I want them both back. And she said, Aurora says, "No, I'm a lady of the light. And I have this power to drive Eat away. All I need to say is, let there be." And then Box charges through. And he just starts grabbing her and walking out to the top of the stairs where everyone else is gathered.
Yeah, they all hear the commotion, so they're all out, and Roger's like, "I'm going to punish you, Aurora."
So creepy.
Yeah, so Purple Girl tries to use her powers on him, but he's modified the armor to block her pheromones.
Yes. And he just
And he
kicks her in the
kicks
face down the stairs.
poor Kara.
She did not deserve
She
that.
falls into Madison's arms. Puck creeps around the corner and grabs Aurora from Box, but then he tumbles with her down the stairs to some safety. So, like, a
Yes.
mixed bag. Hope they didn't break bones.
He knows what he's doing. Sasquatch grabs Box.
Yeah, because he was tipped off, or she was tipped off by Heather. So, use the elevator to go up and surprise Box from behind. Very clever.
And we get this little tidbit as Puck is talking to Aurora at the bottom of the stairs. "You don't know, Sasquatch. You couldn't. You were inducted straight into Alpha Flight, not Beta, and thus passed over the Clinic for Socially Maladjusted Super Beings, where I and Mr. Jeffries and Box were tested. We graduated to Alpha when we were presumably cured. It appears that some of us merely learned to disguise our maladies."
Yeah, the what?
Weird.
Yeah, like
Somehow beta is where you put people who may not adjust well to having powers and using them and being in the public spotlight.
maybe, but it seems more than like a training ground to like psychologically fortify yourself for that. It seems like
Like an old school asylum.
yeah, like they oh, Mac, what happened here? Who were you searching for?
Mac has made so many questionable decisions that we're only hearing about now.
And why? And we'll get into it. Like, this happens in some of the issues numbered in the 50s. We get more of stuff. But it seems like he was really searching high and low and made some questionable recruitment decisions.
Yes, in addition to the whole Wolverine adamantium thing.
Yes.
So Sasquatch and Box tumble down the stairs because they're fighting and almost smash Puck. Like from one panel to the next, he pushes Aurora out of the way and appears to be smashed underneath. But we see him sort of rolled off out, maybe out of the way enough. Box does the stunning thing with the power that Sasquatch had used on Snowbird under when Snowbird was controlled by Pestilence. And so Sasquatch is down. Heather tries zapping Box. Doesn't really work. And then Madison goes off and sort of creates all these barriers. He doesn't deconstruct the Box armor like I thought that he would. I think maybe to preserve the soul of his friend, so if the armor came apart,
Yeah.
so would Box's
So
soul.
it's sort of like a metal prison.
And Box just keeps busting out of it. And Madison, like, here's some. Well, Madison and Purple Girl, like, doing some heroic things of trying to talk him down, trying to defuse a situation. And Box is like, "No, you're the delusional one. You're the paranoid one." And Madison just keeps on trying to talk him down, talk about the doctor, the progress he made, all the things. And in the end, Madison jumps into Box, forcing Roger out.
Yes. And then Roger is just fully delusional.
And some explanation, blah blah, genetic matrix, I modified it, blah blah. And the sores on Roger's legs are even worse than they were before.
Yeah. And that's the issue. We get the letters page back by popular demand.
Oh, good.
And it seems like a lot of the messages, they're really excited about Beta Flight being back. And
Isn't Kara the only member?
yes.
Oh.
It's back though. We'll get more members soon.
It's growing.
And The annual statement of ownership. So, over the preceding 12 months, on average, each issue sold 230,000 copies, which
Wow.
current comics would murder for those type of sales.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, like, I would have to look things up. I feel that on average, like, a popular comic is like 20,000 to 30,000 these days.
That's wild that it's so few.
Which maybe explains why things are so delayed sometimes, and why we can't find things, and why our comic shop can't get things in, like Lower Decks, which was surprising.
Or some of the Pride issues, which was also surprising, but they did were able to order some for us.
So, we already sort of covered the most surprising thing from that issue, which is like Roger's insane.
And his legs seemingly rotting and coming undone. Somewhere in one of these, oh, it might be a future one, the one that we're about to get into, is an ad for a movie. I was going to ask you if you had
Oh,
seen it.
okay. You'll have to bring that up. Issue 47, You Can't Tell the Forest from the Trees. And our writer is Bill Mantlo. Inks are both Wills Portasio and Terry Austin. Bob Sharon on coloring. Letterer Jim Novak. Penciler, we get three of them, which is when you know an issue is in trouble.
Oh
It's
no.
Chris Brasfield, Mike Mignola, and Steve Purcell.
It is this one. It's a movie called Thrashin' with Josh Brolin, because we
No.
love Josh Brolin.
I mean, was I in love with Josh Brolin growing up because of the Goonies?
Yes.
Absolutely.
But it's hot. It's reckless. It's totally insane.
Isn't it a skateboard
It's skateboarding.
movie?
But what you're saying about the penciling makes a lot of sense because the faces are different than in the previous issue. And Heather, like, very different looks.
Do you want me to give
Looks.
you the inside info on why there are three pencilers? Because Carl Potts told me.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. Issue 47 was an all hands on deck affair, he said. I'd given a new talent a shot of drawing the book. He was not able to produce more than a couple pages before the book was so late that I had to ask Mignola and Steve Purcell to quickly lay out the bulk of the issue. Wills Portasio teamed up to ink the issue.
Oh, I mean, the inking, the coloring is good, but on this page that just happens to be across from the Thrashin' ad, like Heather's lips are huge. Her hair is now like she got a blowout somehow in her travels to her hometown. Like she is
Maybe it's the air like flowing through her hair as she's flying, even though she typically has that cowl on.
She does have a cowl on, but like the locks are slightly crimped.
She got a perm, okay? It's 1987.
A perm and a lip job. Is she a drag queen?
So, we begin in space.
I love that.
A woody-looking meteor hurtles toward the Earth and finds its way into a junior league baseball game.
It's such a high-stakes moment, and the poor kid out in center field catches the wrong thing. He catches the meteorite and not the baseball.
He thought it was a fly ball, but he was in the outfield and they assume like, oh, he dropped it because he sucks, and now he's wandering away
Okay.
because he's so ashamed.
Okay, so as I'm reading this, the coach is like that coach, and working in an office with people who work in parks and rec and manage coaches of small children that of a similar ilk as to what's happening in this comic book, like the A, this coach would never be asked back, possibly fired partway through the season. He's like, "What the blazes is that kid looking at? Something in his glove." And the coach is like, fucking, well, it's all asterisked out, but it's basically fucking kid. If I was him, I'd slink back home with my tail between my legs too. And the team is like, no, he was looking at something in his glove, and he's walking in a direction that's not his house. So like this coach is just the worst. And then later we find out that it's Heather's dad.
And she's flying towards Hayesboro, her hometown. And She's reflecting on how her parents disowned her after her marriage to Mac and discovering they were living with Wolverine.
Oh, I know.
I'm flagging this for the FlameCon panel as sexuality.
Yes, the throuple. So there's, like, her mom trying to hold her back as the dad argues with Mac about, I'll not have you exposing my only daughter to whatever dirty, dangerous work you involved in for the government. And the next panel, I eloped with Mac one fine summer night, and I think he's wearing a suit, but he's also got his plaid shirt, like, flung over his shoulder. And then Wolverine is there, like...
And then he's threatening her mom.
With a claw.
Yeah.
And they have come to take Heather home, and Logan's like, well, only if she wants to.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like his shirt might be open. He's got a lit cigarette. He's got some big boots almost to his knee with some tassels on him.
Wolverine?
Yeah. I had to do a double take. I'm like, no, that's Wolverine's hair. That's his demeanor. And it matches the next panel with the claw. Matt trying to explain about Logan doesn't work. And, yeah, those were the last words between her and her parents.
Although some of this was sort of rewritten in that minus one issue that neither of us liked.
The one that exposed some of the stuff with Lady Deathstrike and the Adamantium?
No, with their wedding.
Oh, the wedding, yes.
Yeah, like, I don't consider minus one to be canon.
No.
Not my canon.
Yeah.
So Heather lands in her parents' backyard, and her mom comes out, but she's upset to see that Heather is in her costume and in the line of work that killed her husband.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out what Heather is pulling from her belt. I think it's like a bag to put all her superhero stuff into.
Oh, yeah.
And we get these, like, supermodel looks from her. But the dad comes out. And it's like, the irony now is that there's danger here in Haysboro that the authorities can't handle. We show what hypocrites we were by calling on ... exclamation point. And it's interesting because Heather sort of goes between, like, I shouldn't be here. This isn't worth Alpha Flight's time.
Yeah.
Do I need to create a guide so that if the danger level is too low, we just don't show up?
Yeah.
Which seems...
And her dad's, like, the local police, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, that they have not turned up any clues to these missing kids.
And it's odd. I had thought that they would say, like, the local police or the Mounties. Like, I feel like more people would know who the Mounties are.
I don't know.
But rather than using the...
RCMP.
RCMP, and then having to do an asterisk of Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
So, they get into... She and her dad get in his car. They're like, okay, let's take a drive around. Sure.
So, yeah, so she's flying up above, and then eventually she gets in with him. They drive over these tennis ball-looking things... But they find a bike in a ditch with some school books, and the light is still on. So had it been a while, the light would have burned out.
Yeah.
But so this kid was recently abducted, changed something. And Heather flies off to look. The dad is like, oh, what is this thing? And he gets the same tendril plant life coming out of him as the little kid did.
Yes. He's overtaken by it.
And we get a very shadowy panel at the bottom of the page with these very plant-like looking people with conical heads walking off into the trees. Which I thought might have been the Hill 3 after we heard that episode of Grey Malkin Lane.
Oh, yeah.
About the Hill 3, which are, like, all about the plants.
Yeah.
So I think Chad would have to say for sure if it is or not, but at least it's close.
Yes.
So Heather goes back. She had found some big pits where trees had obviously been before and were dragged out. And it's like, kids aren't the only ones missing. I better get back and tell Daddy. And she keeps referring to her parents as Mommy and Daddy, which is, to me, weird.
Yeah. Especially since she's estranged from them.
She's estranged. She's an adult.
Yeah.
She's a leader of a superhero team. To use such language that you'd expect from a small child? It was odd. So some of the run-over seed things have popped their shells and are trying to grow towards towards Heather, but her force fields zap them, and she zaps all the other tennis balls.
And she's like, this is some sort of invasion that we have here.
Yes, the ones that weren't cracked became cracked after I zapped them, so I had to zap them twice. And what did we learn from that zombie movie? Double tap.
Yes.
So her parents are with the Mounties and the mother of the girl that was on the bike, and all of a sudden these tree creatures are invading the backyard. Bullets from the Mounties do not do anything
Yeah.
until Heather shows up and starts zapping them.
She's like, they must be trapped within the tree creatures because they heard one of the voices
Yes, and
of one of the missing people.
it's the daughter's voice of
Yeah.
the mother who was inside with Heather's mom.
So she's like, okay, well, my blasts do something. So she's like, all right, I'm gonna blast them. I might be killing those who went missing, but we might need to sacrifice them for the good of the world.
Yeah, they're propagating until they'll keep propagating until they're stopped. They must feel the numbers are sufficient to directly overwhelm the town's population. But destroying them means destroying family and friends because she can recognize her dad's voice within one of the trees. But she really does choose the greater good. The
She
needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Heather loves killing kids, so she obliterates the first one. Like, it is on fire. It falls into her parents' backyard pond,
We burn.
and then like the child crawls out and it's like, I'm basically fine. And she's like, okay, so I just need to set fire to all of them.
Yeah, I think it's more of a blind luck. The
Yes.
shrieking child falls into Mrs. McNeil's ornamental koi pond.
Yes.
That's how the fire works out.
Otherwise, she was just going to murder everyone.
Yeah.
Her plan was murder these children.
I mean, to stop an invasion, and they were going to stop being those children. Like, as she releases these people, she burns them, and then she dumps the koi pond on top of them through the magic of force fields. And everyone is there. Her dad, the center fielder, and the dad is like, those things are taking over our minds as well as our bodies. Like, I feel like Heather gets a bad rap for this.
Oh, okay. You're a Heather apologist. Go for it.
Apparently. But they weren't going to be those people anymore. Like, they were fully taken over, or going to be taken over, were they allowed to spread.
So, her job is done. She helps with the cleanup efforts, but one of the pods remains.
Womp 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 in the backyard.
Yes.
And that's issue
So,
47.
this was the first time that we had a spotlight on Heather. Every other person got something in those first 12 issues.
Oh,
And as she is finally given a spotlight, a solo adventure, no other member of Alpha Flight appears.
yeah. Because she didn't think the danger was high enough to warrant calling them in.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was always like the map plus one for those beginning issues, so. Good for her.
Issue 48 is entitled Madness.
And we go sort of back to the plot line from 2 issues ago. Like, the 47 was a sort of odd.
Like, when did she have time to do this?
I don't know. Also, the title page here has box in a big egg with
Yes.
water and like a scuba helmet
Yes.
or bathymetric helmet. Like, he's not in a bell, but he might
No.
as well be.
Yes.
Which, when I read it, I'm like, oh, why is he there and not, like, in any other room or restrained or anything?
Yeah, he doesn't have the bends anymore.
Right, like, this is, I feel, insult to injury, being like, oh, remember that time you had bends? Let's put you in water. But also, like, it was one of those mental health, quote, treatments, unquote, that wasn't actually helpful, where they
Oh.
would put people in like really cold and like trap them there, like they were in the stocks
Oh.
and they were in a cold bath. Like, very problematic. And I feel like this is just Alpha Flight's version of it, which doesn't make me feel good.
So Roger Box is basically frothing at the mouth. He is so pissed.
Yeah.
And he's threatening to kill them.
Especially Aurora.
Yeah, he's like, "You Jezebel."
You tramp.
Yeah.
And everyone has having these thought bubbles of like, what is happening? And also his body type is changing. He is looking a bit more rotund than he was before.
And Aurora's like, "Listen, I dropped you because like Sasquatch came back, but Sasquatch is a woman, so I might still want you."
Is this the part, or did I miss it in 46, where like each of the team members is taking a turn recounting the tale? It might have been 46, because I don't see it here.
Heather's having some long, deep thoughts about the mental fitness of her team,
Seriously.
and she's like, "You know, we might not be in the best place mental health wise as a group."
Yeah. Northstar hasn't been the same since his encounter with Pestilence. But can I count on Puck, who's been injured in battle after battle, which is just rude? Aurora, if Box is nuts, she's borderline. Snowbird's gone, and in her place we have an albino Sasquatch. Will she prove as unstable as the original? The Purple Girl's mind powers make her formidable, but she's just a kid. I feel the only one I can truly count on is Mr. Jeffries. And Wanda, at the end of all that, is like, a penny for your thoughts, Vindicator. It's like, not those thoughts. Those are not the kind of thoughts that you share out loud.
Yeah. Northstar is like, "You know, Roger should just be put away." Madison in the box armor starts a fight with him because of that.
And Northstar would be able to smash the claw that has grabbed him, but he is stuck in a coughing fit.
Yes.
And so Madison taunts him a little, like, "Will you, Swifty, or shouldn't you stop to catch, or should you stop to catch your breath first?" Like, everyone's sort of not in a great
And
place.
they're like, "You know what? We should go back to the New Life Clinic where we just were
Yeah.
to see if Scramble can help out Roger." And Northstar's like, "Yeah, we should." And Heather's like, "Huh?"
Yeah, just as emphatically, she's like, no,
Yeah.
to Northstar's yes. And,
She doesn't want to rely on Scramble. Like, she's
right.
feeling something.
Like, both from her previous trauma with him when he was insane, but
Yeah.
also, like, we can't keep relying on these quick fixes.
Yeah.
Like, sooner or later, it's going to come back and bite us.
Yeah. She and Puck are both wondering to themselves, why does Northstar want to go back to the New Life Clinic?
And then it's like, but if it's
He.
just a cold and exhaustion, why does he need Scramble? And or if it's something worse, why is he hiding it from the rest of us? So folks get separated. Puck is all bandaged up, but also somehow in his uniform.
Yes.
And he and Northstar are talking again. But Puck sort of goes off on his, like, "Oh, I'm so sad that I have dwarfism. Heather can't love me like this. But if I get cured of my dwarfism, then Black Razor will be released, and we can't have that.
No.
But I love Heather." And then in the next box with Heather and Madison, Heather's like, "But I love Madison."
Oh.
It's like the love triangles are just bizarre.
So they go to the New Life Clinic, and Scramble and everyone else is around.
Scramble has gotten a wardrobe upgrade. He's got this big robe thing with a high collar, maybe a shirt underneath, but maybe it's just like a different collar on it. But if you're showing up at this like healing place and someone comes out with these robes, like, red flag, red flag.
And Roger's in a different aquatic tank, this one horizontal.
It's rough.
And Scramble's like, "I might not be able to help him because his brain is a lot more complex than his limbs."
And it worked with Madison because we're brothers and we're
Yes.
close. I'm not that close with Roger, like physiologically, neurologically.
Genetically.
Yes.
Madison takes the tank into a different room so Scramble and Whitman Knapp can begin their work.
Time passes.
Yeah, so the team is all waiting for some sort of update, and
Aurora and Purple Girl are talking about how far underground they are.
yeah.
Like, this is weird.
Yes, New Life Clinic, bad vibes.
Why is there a secret underground lab underneath the clinic?
Yeah.
So, again, Puck is still like, I love Heather, mopey. Heather is like, does Madison feel about me as I feel for him? I've been lonely so long. Not a good look for her. And Wanda and Northstar, I like that. Wanda's like, oh, would you mind getting up? And Northstar's like, sure, but why? And Wanda's like, didn't anyone tell you it's good manners to rise and give your seat to a lady? And as she reclines backwards. So in the room,
Yeah, we're in the operating theater.
we've got Madison, Scramble, Nap, and Box. And Madison is like, what truth, Lionel, as you're monologuing about flesh from corpses?
Yep. So Scramble's been using dead material.
Some of them he's killed.
Yep, and that's where Roger's legs came from.
Not the extra mass that he had from his body,
Yeah.
like everyone was told.
Yep. So Madison is like, oh shit, this is real bad.
I thought you cured your madness.
Yeah.
And I never someone's like, or perhaps having never been truly insane, I was merely able to convince you that I'm sane enough. Ugh.
So Madison's like, shit, I gotta get back to the team. But his brother reaches out and.
Fuses his lips together,
Yeah.
fuses his limbs, or his hands at least, and then keeps him from walking.
Yep.
And Scramble's like, I'm going to use Alpha Flight's superior biogenetics to create a superior race of new men,
Ooh.
who I shall call Omega.
Oh no.
Nap tries to say no, and Scramble's like, I only kept you around because I sensed something within you, but also I'm going to make the back of your head melt. And he just gets laid out, and with some laying of hands,
Yes.
Scramble fuses with Box. So between Box ingenuity and Scramble's powers, they're like, this is how we're going to create it.
Yep. So the team, they're waiting and they're bored. So they decide to, split up and explore.
Yeah, Northstar, who is trying to get Scramble alone to be like, hey, can you take care of this cough for me?
Yep.
I don't want the team to know that I'm getting help from you for this. He vibrates a lock apart and starts walking. Aurora follows the sounds of his coughing, cough, 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 and then eventually gets lost and ends up in this room where there's five beakers essentially hanging from the ceiling. There's a dude with a very long ponytail and a mesh shirt, I want to say, and some pearls.
Wow.
His look is a lot.
Why do we have a gay trapped here?
There are maybe twins in some, they're not flames, but they're yellow, yellow, orange, orange, like a progression. They're struggling in their own can. Someone's sleeping, and then there's like a, I want to say this might be goblin. Is it goblin?
No.
No. There's like a weird body
Oh,
thing.
wait. Let me see.
The purple one. With the other person, because
Oh,
you, I feel like I've
maybe.
picked up enough of like Goblin needs her
Yes.
sister,
Yep.
and that could be the
Yep.
sister.
Yes.
I did it. Context clues.
Yes.
So there is a thing with Northstar here as he's reflecting. He's saying that this is his last hope. I will die a victim of a disease with which I was already infected when my encounter with pestilence accelerated it. And we get this montage of him skiing, him protesting, him signing up with Mac, him out with the guys with a flashy car and those jackets with the big shoulder pads. I've had many good years of fun. I've had fun, fortune, fame, special friends. I'm sure they're just roommates.
Yeah.
I have no regrets about my past. I only have such a longing to live my future. And Scramble, it's just me. Can I come in?
Yeah.
But this whole thing about him already having been infected with the disease before pestilence, like when you all were saying, like, he is the AIDS metaphor, this is like pretty explicit.
Yes.
Like, that he knows that he's contracted it prior to
Yep.
lip-locking pestilence.
Ew.
Yeah.
No one should have to be subjected to pestilence.
Especially in that context.
Yeah.
But that's like such a big moment, and I
Yeah.
can't believe people weren't like, he's clearly gay.
Yes.
So Scramble.
So he's going to open the door,
And there's tendrils, so
but the door explodes open.
he runs away.
These fleshy little things.
Ugh, fleshy. Startles everyone who's waiting, and he's like, "It's coming." And
And they're
Heather's
like,
like,
what?
"What?" And we got this super creepy transforming Scramble into a, it looks like Nastar, Nasty, the demon from Inferno,
Sort of.
with the big teeth and the
Oh,
claws
yeah.
and the protrusions from his back. And it's Omega. And so there's a big battle.
Yeah,
And it
so
doesn't go well.
Heather is like, I should have listened to my gut instinct about coming back here, and I didn't.
It's true. She shouldn't have. But there were a lot of pressures trying to get her to go.
Yeah.
So Sasquatch gets slammed. Puck gets grabbed and tendrilled. And Northstar gets grabbed and tendrilled. And even something happens to Heather. Something about, like, stripped of this power suit, you're just going to be cannon fodder, essentially.
So this new creature is Omega.
Yes, Purple Girl is grabbing a tendril. She's the only one left standing. And then all these tendrils are coming out of his mouth. Oh no, just the ones to get Northstar are the ones coming out of Omega's mouth.
So Omega's purpose is to absorb each member in their power into itself, so it will be truly unstoppable.
Yeah. So we flash back to Madison in the operating theater, where getting Nap is his only chance. And Nap is looking real melty. Like the back of his head, his fingers are super long. And it's like, Nap, something's happening to Nap. And that's where the issue ends.
Yes, a cliffhanger.
A cliffhanger.
So we knew that like Scramble was bad, but he's like
Yes.
real bad.
And now the art on the wall makes sense of his evil form.
Yes, I had that commission from June Brigman herself. Because she draws him in the following issue. This issue was Terry Shoemaker. So.
And he, I was all set to be like, "We're rooting for you. We were all rooting for you." Loath as I am to make a pop culture reference, but there we are. And he's just evil.
He's real evil.
Buddy.
Yeah. So this is the big bad we have for issue 49. The
Yeah.
next time we discuss Alpha Flight, we know the battle will ensue. And next episode is going to be real big for Alpha Flight because we have that. We have issue 50, which is double sized.
Oh, fun.
And we also have annual number 2, which
Okay.
has some dinosaurs.
Is Sauron involved, turning people
No,
into dinosaurs?
surprisingly not.
Oh.
Yeah.
But what a revelation about Northstar.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the big groundbreaking, not groundbreaking, earth-shattering, earth-shaking revelation in the issue.
Yeah, you're taking that away from it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beyond Scramble's awfulness, because like once I saw him in that robe, I'm like, oh, we know. We know what road you're going down.
Yeah, we've seen Empyrean.
It's true.
Some dude wandering around who wants to, like, quote, do good.
Didn't they kill Empyrean in Fall of X?
I think they did.
Which is sad. They were like, had him strapped up to something.
Yeah.
I think in the Cable and Bishop
Oh,
adventure.
yeah. There's so much from the past year of X Comics that I just don't recall
Yeah.
or didn't read at all.
Also that. But yeah, big things are happening.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned, friends.
Yeah, next episode will probably be a Voyager episode.
Oh, yeah, those have
Yeah.
been good.
Yeah, they have been. So we'll get to that. We'll catch you next time, everyone.
Be well.
Bye.